and of Aldford back to your city of origin. Should you die again, you'll find yourself far away from this town, lest you find another location to anchor your soul."
"What?" Master gasped, looking terrified. "You can do that? That's not fair! There's nowhere even close to here to bind my soul again!"
"That is not my concern,"
Dire stated emotionlessly.
"Perhaps it will serve as a valuable lesson to you for the future."
"Hang on," I said, having watched the exchange between Dire and Mazder quietly until now. "Banishment is a fine final punishment, but it's not enough for what Mazder's done. We need to make it clear that Aldford won't tolerate the shit that he just pulled."
"Oh, fuck you, Lyrian," Mazder spat. "Haven't you done enough already?"
"And what do you believe would make his punishment fair?"
Dire asked me, ignoring the Dark Elf's reaction.
"Imprisonment? At least for a week," I stated without hesitation. "Then banishment."
Dire stared at me for a moment, processing my statement before he shook his head.
"That will not be possible. There are no clauses for imprisonment within Aldford's town charter. Any punishment is limited to fines, death, exile, or banishment."
"Are you serious?"
Freya cut in, asking the Justicar with a note of disbelief in her voice.
"We can't imprison anyone in Aldford at all?"
"The laws of this town were written with a frontier in mind,"
Dire stated, shifting his gaze to the blonde-haired woman.
"It was not anticipated that resources would be spent building a prison, not when banishment to the wild almost guarantees death."
"Well, that's a big gap that we're going to have to fix."
I couldn't believe what Dire was telling me. "Just banishing adventurers isn't enough of a deterrent."
"The laws of Aldford is something that you will have to bring up with Aldwyn. He's the only one with the legal right to adjust them or create new ones,"
Dire told me as he reached out to grab Mazder by the arm.
"In the meantime, however, I will continue to enforce them as they have been laid down."
"Hey, wait!"
Mazder yelped as Dire practically yanked him off his feet.
"Don't I get an appeal either?"
"You may appeal your sentence directly to Mithus after a term of 6 months of good behavior,"
Dire replied as he pulled Mazder away from us, taking a path directly towards the southern section of Aldford.
"Should you have sincerely attempted to mend your ways, Mithus will commute your sentence at that time. However, should you be found wanting, Mithus may see fit to increase it instead. I suggest that you weigh your actions carefully before appealing to the God of Justice."
Moving to keep pace with the Dire, all of us, including Mazder's party, followed the Justicar as he dragged the Dark Elf to the bridge that spanned the river and marked the edge of Aldford's official boundary. True to Thea's earlier words, I then realized just how many adventurers had followed us from the arena, or had been drawn by the commotion surrounding the town hall, as nearly 24 of them eagerly waited to witness the punishment of the would-be duelist. With little ceremony as we approached the bridge, Dire shoved the Dark Elf forward, causing him to stumble across the rough stone, the rest of his party following wordlessly behind, joining in on their leader's banishment with barely a word or hesitation.
I have no idea where Mazder found these people, but damned if they're loyal to him,
I thought as I watched the completely unarmed and unarmored group cross the bridge and form up behind him. But I'm sure they know that they wouldn't be welcome, or necessarily even safe within Aldford anymore. Leaving quickly with Mazder is probably their best bet to stay together as a group before somebody tries to jump them with vengeance on their mind.
"I won't forget this, Lyrian,"
Mazder growled as he shifted his hate-filled glare from Dire and on to me.
"I'll be back."
"I'm sure you will, Mazder," I interrupted the man with a dismissive wave of my hand. "I've heard the same thing from far better people. And let me tell you something. I'm still here." Spitting at my feet, Mazder scowled in anger before he and his party turned away from us, slowly walking out into the wild, the tension of the situation diminishing with every step that they took.
"Do you wish for me to hunt them down tonight?"
Amaranth asked me with a bloodthirsty tone in his mental voice.
"I can shadow them during the sunlight and fall upon them the moment they lay their heads to rest."
"I can't tell you how tempting that is," I replied to Amaranth, the urge of ordering him to kill the party nearly overpowering my better judgment. "But no. Let's hope they've learned their lesson for the time being. We have enough problems as it is without creating permanent enemies for the future. I also don't know how Dire would react to that either. The last thing we need is trouble from him in our own town.
As you wish,
Amaranth replied with a tinge of doubt as he slowly walked onto the bridge and turned to look towards me.
Regardless, I will follow them for a distance to ensure that they take your benevolence to heart. True predators like them will find it hard to accept your mercy. Until they fully accept you as their better, they will constantly test the boundaries you are willing to give them.
We will see, I told the puma as he moved to stalk after the prey without another word. Be careful. Turning away from Mazder's departing figure, I faced the crowd of gathered adventurers, recognizing the majority of them from my duel with Mazder and his party. Their gaze landed on me immediately, causing me to pause for a moment, once again surprised to see how many had followed us during the altercation.
They are looking to you for guidance,
Dire whispered to me in a soft voice that made me doubt if he'd even spoken at all.
What you say now will set the tone for any future incidents. Choose your words carefully.
Eyes widening in surprise, I looked towards Dire, only to see him already shifting away from me and walking back towards the heart of Aldford, circling the group of adventurers without another word. I watched the Justicar thoughtfully for a moment before turning back towards the gathered adventurers. Today, a man was murdered for the sole purpose of getting my attention, I began, casting a glance at Alistair before looking out towards the crowd. And as you all saw, he's been dealt with harshly, stripped of all his gear and banished. I paused for a moment as I collected my thoughts. Aldford is young, I said, and all of us right now have the opportunity to shape it into the town, and one day I hope the city that we want it to be. I, for one, want it to be a place where we can all let our guard down and enjoy the comforts of civilization without worrying of being assaulted, killed, or challenged unjustly. Something that I know is not easily found close to here. A low rumble of agreement reached my ears, the newest arrivals to Aldford clearly sharing my sentiment of safety. With those words in mind, I have one promise and a warning to share with you all, I continued, nodding in sync with the adventurers before me. If anyone repeats Mazder's actions, they will be dealt with just as harshly, if not even more, as our own laws develop and mature. It is up to us to set the standards as more adventurers join our settlement, and it is my goal to make it one filled with honor and companionship, rather than one filled with distrust and conflict. Keep that in mind as we go forward in the coming days and weeks, for there will be no other warnings. It wasn't my best speech by far. I knew without a doubt in my mind, but there was a low echo of approval from my statement as the adventurers slowly began to disperse. Many of them heading towards the arena with growing excitement in their voices. Scanning the crowd, I couldn't help but note that there were several more adventurers heading back to the recruitment grounds than I had seen originally, something I silently hoped translated into an even larger application pool for Virtus. As it was, we had more than enough work to go around and not enough bodies to handle it.
Any reason why we shouldn't restart the recruitment process?
Freya asked me, her smooth voice jarring me out of my thoughts. No. I replied empathetically, meeting her eyes as I spoke. If they can't handle the sight of blood or something unexpected like this coming up, they aren't what we are looking for anyway.
Damn right,
Freya replied with a crooked smile before nodding her head towards the departing swarm of adventurers.
We could use your help in getting everyone sorted, though. Based on my rough count on everyone heading back towards the arena, we're gonna need more help managing the applicants. And given everything that just happened, it's better that you're seen with the guild as much as possible.
I'll be there, I told Freya. Just give me a few minutes to fill Aldwyn in. I'm not sure where he is, but he should definitely know what's happened here, at least before he hears it secondhand. If you see the others before I do, will you let them know what's happened when they get back from hunting?
No problem, Lear. And it's probably a good idea to fill Aldwyn in, Freya said. I'm pretty surprised that he isn't here already, to be honest. All this commotion hasn't exactly been quiet.
I can cover in the meantime, Sierra offered. Aldwyn was just in his office with Ronia before Dire and I left.
The red-haired woman paused to shake her head before continuing to speak.
They have some sort of history between one another, and not all good from what I could tell. Aldwyn may appreciate the rescue, if nothing else.
Fantastic, I replied with a weary tone,
wondering what Stanton and the other adventurers would think of everything that had just happened. There was no way that they could have missed Mazder's challenge or the fight between us. Let's hope it's something simple.
Huh?
Sierra commented with a snort as she and Freya moved to follow the group of departing adventurers.
When was the last time something was simple for us?
Probably not since we logged on for the first time,
Freya said wistfully, giving me a wink as she left to follow the group of adventurers. Sighing silently, I found myself unable to disagree with either woman's statement, wondering when the game had taken the turn from something fun to play with my friends to being in charge of a budding virtual society with competing interests and personality conflicts. This is a far cry away from my old life, I realized as I looked out towards the crowd, wondering just how many would end up making the cut to Virtus. But would I really want it back? Shaking my head at the thought, I made to move forward and walk towards the town hall in search of Alduin, just as an unfamiliar voice called out to me.
If this is how you handle all your problems, Lyrian, I think we're going to get along perfectly.
Caught off guard by the use of my name, I couldn't help but flinch as I shifted my glance towards a nearby elf, standing off to the side, leaning nonchalantly against a nearby building, far away from where everyone else had been standing. Clad in dark leather with an ornate metal cuirass covering his chest, I was surprised that I hadn't noticed him earlier. Judging by the quality of the gear that the man was wearing, he had to be somewhere close to my level, if not higher. Something that I always made a point to keep an eye out for. He's not just an elf, I mentally corrected myself after staring at the bald, clean-shaven man for a moment, realizing that his figure was far too broad and muscular for a purebred elf. He has to be a mix of something else. Maybe human or half-giant? What are you talking about? I asked while watching the man carefully, wondering where he'd just come from. It wasn't exactly hard to find out what my name was after spending some time in Oldford, but I still found it rather unsettling not to know who I was talking to. And how exactly do you think that we're going to be working together? The man let out a bitter chuckle while shaking his head at me.
I saw you talking to Stanton, and I'm sure he's told you about the reason why he's here.
And if he has, I replied, slowly walking towards the man, my eyes scanning my surroundings. The day may have just started, but I'd already had far too many surprises for my liking.
Then whatever he's told you is a complete lie,
the man stated as he beckoned me closer, casting a wary glance at the departing adventurers.
Or close enough to make no difference.
How would you know that? I asked, indulging the man and closing the distance between us, coming to a stop a few feet away from him, my hand moving to rest on Razor's hilt.
He's the reason why my friends and I are here,
the man replied, taking no notice of my hand's placement, as an angry expression momentarily crossed his face before vanishing into a forced smile.
If I had it my way, we'd still be in Iberia, not out here in the middle of nowhere.
Are you following him? I cocked my head at the adventurer, suddenly wondering where exactly this conversation was headed as I inspected him more intently.
Ha! The man snorted, shaking his head again. No, not voluntarily at least. I am actually his prisoner, in a manner of speaking.
His prisoner? I repeated while frowning at the man's unexpected reply. Staring at him for a moment in surprise, a thousand questions clamored for attention in my mind until I chose the easiest of them as I collected myself and tried to mask my astonishment.
Just who exactly are you?
Here I thought you'd never ask, the muscular elf replied, a wide grin forming on his face. My name is Lazarus Kane.
Chapter 12. Moving away from the bridge, I followed the strange elf as he led me behind the building that he had been leaning against and further into Aldford, silently replaying his last words in my head. Stanton mentioned that the adventurers he brought with him were uncooperative, I reminded myself, keeping my eyes focused on Lazarus's back as he avoided the main road through the town, and careful of signs of betrayal despite noting that the man wasn't carrying any visible weapons on his body. But he didn't say anything about them being here against their will.
My spinning thoughts came to an abrupt end as two other male adventurers came into view, the pair standing side by side as they waited nervously behind a house that had been built long before I arrived in Aldford. One was an olive-skinned human dressed in bright red leather armor, the other a tall half-orc wearing a tight-fitting linen jacket with dark brown pants. They were clearly on edge as their attention immediately focused onto Lazarus and then onto myself as we approached.
"What took you so long, Lazarus?"
the man dressed in the leather armor demanded the moment that we came into range, his long dark hair swaying side to side as he looked between the muscular elf and me.
"We've been waiting for ages. Someone is bound to realize that we're missing by now. If Stanton finds out..."
"And what is he exactly gonna do about it, Sawyer?" Lazarus replied indifferently. "Make our lives even more difficult than he already has? He can't expect us to stay cooped up in the tent the entire day now that we've finally arrived."
"We shouldn't test him too much, Lazarus."
The half-orc spoke as he inclined his cleanly shaven head towards me in greeting, his bright hazel eyes inspecting my gear.
"If we push him too far..."
"I'm well aware of the stakes we're playing with, Ransom," Lazarus replied harshly before his expression softened and he waved a hand in my direction. "Anyway, the reason why it took so long was that Lyrian here was busy putting the beat down on Mazder and his crew. Pretty damn well, if I may say so myself."
"That's what all the commotion was?"
Sawyer asked, his dark eyes shifting to look at me with approval.
"What happened?"
"He killed one of the applicants to my guild," I replied, feeling that the information would become common knowledge around Aldford within the hour. "He wanted to lure me into a ranked duel and to steal my weapons and armor. I turned the terms around on him and took his gear instead, before the Justicar banished him from Aldford."
"Damn, that's cold," Ransom said with a smile on his face. "Couldn't have happened to a better guy."
"You knew Mazder and his group?" I couldn't help but ask, realizing that they must have spent the last few days traveling with the man just as the words left my mouth.
"He tried challenging us back in Coldscar,"
Sawyer explained with a nod.
"Well, more specifically, that huge half-orc tried to challenge Lazarus. What was his name again? Thad, or something similar."
"Thraw,"
Ransom replied with a shrug.
"Regardless, it didn't turn out too well for him in the end."
"What happened?" I asked, my curiosity getting the better of me.
"I found out where he was sleeping and fed him a brick," Lazarus replied idly. "He got the message that I wasn't interested after that."
I paused for a moment as I considered Lazarus's reply, realizing after a heartbeat that he wasn't joking and had no qualms about brutalizing an opponent in order to make a point, something I knew all too well given my last interaction with Mazder and Graves before that. Sometimes a vicious example just had to be made.
"Huh,"
I grunted, breaking the momentary silence that had fallen around us. "Anyway, what was it that you wanted me for? Lazarus told me you were all Stanton's prisoners, but I find that hard to believe if you're running free in town."
"We aren't exactly his prisoners, but we're not exactly free either. More like indentured servants with a death sentence over our heads,"
Sawyer answered as he cast an annoyed glance over towards Lazarus.
"My name is Sawyer, by the way, since it doesn't look like Lazarus is going to formally introduce us."
"You're all grown-ups, introduce yourselves," Lazarus grunted. "What am I, a nursemaid?" "You're something, all right,"
the half-orc muttered under his breath as he met my eyes.
"I'm Ransom, and we're all unfortunately stuck with him for the foreseeable future."
"I see," I said slowly, my tone indicating the exact opposite.
"You don't, at least not yet," Lazarus replied with a sigh. "The reason why I asked you here is that we wanted to cut through all the bullshit that I bet Stanton just laid onto you, along with everything that's happening in Iberia and this ether business that caused the three of us to be dragged out here."
"And how exactly do you know what sort of bullshit Stanton might be telling us?" I asked, trying to mask the sudden increase in my heart rate and keep my expression even as I met Lazarus's gaze. According to him, you declined to even show up to the meeting.
Is that what he told you? Lazarus asked with a scowl. We didn't decline to go to the meeting. We were barred from attending.
Barred? I echoed with a note of disbelief, my eyes narrowing at the man. Why?
Because for as much as he needs us, he doesn't trust us, Ransom answered softly. And he knows we don't trust him. I'm sure he was concerned that we'd contradict him in front of everyone and throw off whatever he's planning.
That doesn't really answer the question, I said, letting a bit of annoyance color my voice. With how slow the conversation was unfolding, I was going to be here all day, and I didn't have the time to waste.
I know what he told you because I overheard him and Commander Tarius rehearsing their story while we were on the road, Lazarus stated while motioning to his elven ears. I may be a half-giant as well as an elf, but these just aren't for show, you know?
That's easy to say and hard to prove, I replied with a shrug, despite being silently happy to now know the other half of the man's racial makeup. Give me something specific.
Well, for one, they talked about their long-term plan to have Iberia annex Aldford once they have control over something called a ley line, Lazarus said, refusing to be intimidated. Then Stanton went on about House Daenerys technically owning this settlement, then mentioned a disgraced knight named Frederick Aldwyn being a bad political choice to remain in control of the region.
They want to annex Aldford? The words leapt out of my mouth before I could regain my composure.
Ah! Lazarus's eyes widened at my reaction. I knew that would get your attention.
Don't be crass, Lazarus, Sawyer interjected as he cut a hand through the air and gave me an apologetic look. We won't need to work with Lyrian and his guild if we're ever going to get back to Iberia in a decent time frame, especially with the Ascendancy on its way.
Stanton mentioned that they tried to invade Iberia, I said, feeling off balance as I shifted my glance towards the red-armored Iberian. And that you three stopped it. Is that actually true?
In a manner of speaking, yes,
Ransom acknowledged as a pained expression crossed his face and he looked over towards Lazarus.
But that is a rather complicated story.
That we don't have the time to tell right now, Lazarus said somewhat forcefully to Ransom before looking back towards me.
But in either case, Sawyer is right. First and foremost, we need your help, which is why we're warning you about Stanton and what he's planning in an attempt to build some goodwill between us.
Okay, I replied uneasily, still feeling like I was missing a substantial part of the bigger picture. And what exactly would my help entail?
We need you and your guild's help to fix the ley line and restore the flow of ether to Iberia, like Stanton no doubt asked you,
Ransom said.
After all, that is the reason why we were sent here to support him.
Ransom paused for a moment, looking briefly at Lazarus and Sawyer before continuing.
But we need you to do it in such a way that doesn't force Stanton to order us to try and take control of the town from you.
Are you crazy? I exclaimed while staring at Ransom numbly for a moment as I tried to process what he had just told me. My eyes then shifted towards Sawyer and Lazarus, seeing them both staring at me expectantly.
My own ego aside, none of you would survive attempting that. You're all simply far outnumbered.
Then you understand our problem, Lazarus said grimly. We've been here long enough to hear what you did to some guy named Graves, and the last thing I want to do with my time is be stuck in a meaningless territory skirmish on the edge of the frontier when I could be back in Iberia.
Actually, I'm not so sure that I do. I looked at the man with confusion, his candid nature at odds with what I was expecting from a clandestine meeting such as this. Why is he so set on getting back to Iberia? That's the second time he's mentioned it now.
The three of us need to keep Stanton alive,
Sawyer told me, keeping his attention focused on Lazarus as he spoke.
He and his mistress have hostages back in Iberia and have arranged some sort of magical dead man switch. If we don't fix whatever this ley line thing is and bring Stanton back to Iberia in one piece,
then some of our friends will die, Lazarus finished, and others will be
lost to us possibly for a very long time, if not forever.
His mistress? I queried, while making a mental note of what Lazarus had just told me regarding hostages.
You mean Aemilia Denarius? Yeah,
Lazarus replied with a nod as a scowl came across his face.
That bitch.
I heard Alduin refer to her the same way, I replied dryly, as I slowly began to understand the trio's motivations for making contact. Had Stanton and Veronia actually tried to annex Aldford by force, they'd have to deal with several dozen angry adventurers who wouldn't even hesitate to put a dagger in one of their eyes if it meant keeping the town free of an outsider's influence. Not to forget the other adventurers that had arrived with Stanton who had leaped to our assistance over the prickly nobleman.
Nice to know it isn't because of my charming personality, Lazarus said flippantly before schooling his features back into a serious expression. I'm going to be honest with you, Lyrian. Reaching out to you wasn't our original plan, or our backup plan, or our backup plan. Based on everything that Stanton had told us, we were expecting to find a small village barely eking out an existence out here, starving for supplies and ready to cave the moment we arrived. Not a fortified settlement that has more manpower and resources than the majority of the guild estate surrounding Coldscar.
So you were ready to just take over the village on arrival? I queried, meeting Lazarus's eyes unflinchingly and seeing him nod in response.
Stanton told us to prepare for that option, he admitted. That or simply burning it to the ground and rebuilding on top of it.
You should be telling Alduin this, I said through gritted teeth. He thinks that Stanton is here as an ally, not as a would-be conqueror.
It was hard enough finding a chance to talk to you without anyone listening in, let alone sneaking into the town hall without Stanton seeing,
Lazarus told me pointedly while waving a hand dismissively at my suggestion.
Besides, we've only been here for a day, and after asking around town, it's clearly obvious that you and your guild are the ones that are really in charge here, even if Alduin is technically the leader.
I instinctively ready to reply to correct Lazarus, but found myself unable to completely disagree with what he was saying. Every single major decision that had been made within Aldford over the last few weeks had gone through both Alduin and me, the two of us effectively guiding the town's development. Thinking about it in hindsight, however, I suddenly realized just how much Alduin had begun deferring to me, trusting me to keep the settlement's best interests in mind.
Fair enough, I replied slowly, still trying to wrap my head around what exactly Lazarus and his friends wanted me to do. Keeping Stanton from even attempting to annex Aldford was going to be a difficult prospect, considering that I didn't know the full scope of his plans or his motivations. Assuming I even believed what they were telling me. Taking a moment to consider my words carefully, I slowly scanned the group, meeting everyone's eye in turn before speaking.
Let's say for a moment that I believe what you're all telling me, and that Stanton has plans to seize Aldford for Iberia. I still don't fully understand why. Sure, he mentioned that the Ascendancy is breathing down Iberia's neck, which you three have confirmed, and that restoring access to the ley line would help with the coming conflict, but that doesn't seem enough to me to warrant annexation. If war breaks out, Iberia will be cut off from the rest of the continent, and Aldford will wither on the vine.
It's politics, from what I understand,
Ransom replied.
The noble houses in Iberia are currently having a few disagreements with the king.
Don't sugarcoat it, Ransom. Lyria needs to know the unvarnished truth if he's going to even have a chance at helping us.
Sawyer interrupted before glancing at me.
The noble houses are inches away from a flat-out rebellion against the king and open warfare between one another. As it is, they haven't paid their taxes in weeks and have split up the city districts into their own fortified camps, patrolled exclusively by house guards and not the Iberian military. The city is a powder keg, ready to go off at any second, assuming it hasn't already since we left.
And somehow annexing Aldford is going to stop that from happening? I asked, unsure of how a frontier town, a week's travel away, figured into that equation.
Not annexing Aldford might set everything off, Ransom told me. You know just how, unpopular Alduin is back in Iberia, don't you?
I have a vague idea, based on what he himself has told me. I told Ransom with a shrug, despite feeling a sense of worry bloom in my gut. I had known that Alduin's past could have posed problems with Iberia down the road, but I hadn't expected for it to be this big an issue. From what I understand, though, that shouldn't be a problem. He's been out of the public eye for a while, and out here for the last few months.
That's not what I've overheard Stanton and Veronia say, Lazarus told me. The way they talk about Alduin,
the half-giant paused to shake his head.
They believe that the moment that the rest of the nobility learn that he controls all of Iberia's ether, they'll do something reckless, thinking that one of the other houses is holding an unfair advantage over the other.
So Emilia thinks that the best way forward is to remove him from power? I finished bitterly, a bad taste filling my mouth as I spoke. That is nothing but bullshit. She is the one who exiled Alduin out here anyway.
I agree, Lyrian, Lazarus told me with a shrug. But this is the reality of the situation back in Iberia.
So, what exactly is the endgame here for Emilia? I asked, feeling a surge of anger shoot through me as I began to realize that Iberian politics had finally reached far enough to affect Aldford, and that there was going to be no easy way to escape them. Based on what I've heard about her, I didn't expect her to be one to try and play the mediator in this situation, or even care what the other houses do. Besides, if everything is as dire as you say it is, what is she going to do when the next situation arises? Today it might be Alduin being in control of Aldford. Tomorrow the sun might cast a shadow on the wrong noble house. What will happen then?
This is a shitty situation for all of us, Lyrian,
Sawyer replied.
But we're hoping that we can work together in some capacity to keep everything from falling apart.
That's where I'm stuck at, I said as a group of loud voices on the opposite side of the building began to draw closer, causing the three men to look around nervously. In order to work together, we're going to need to trust one another, and I'm not quite there yet. For all I know, you could be working towards your own ends, telling me exactly what I need to hear to do something rash.
Has Stanton told you specifically how he found out about the ley lines rupture?
Lazarus asked me, brushing my statement aside as he made a sudden motion with his hand, indicating that we should all move away from the building and whomever was walking by. No, I replied in a neutral tone as I moved to follow the group. Only that the Mages Guild found it.
Like fucking hell they found it!
Ransom spat, drawing a grunt from Lazarus due to the volume of his voice.
He's not wrong,
Sawyer added a heartbeat after, meeting Lazarus's eye unflinchingly as the big man shifted his gaze.
What is it?
I pressed, starting to become concerned by Lazarus's lack of response.
The Mages Guild sure as hell didn't find it,
he replied, meeting my eyes as he spoke.
And the fact that Stanton isn't being completely honest with you on at least that basic level should worry you. A lot.
That doesn't prove... Before I could finish replying to Lazarus's statement, the man held up a hand and shook his head.
Look, Lyrian, we don't expect you to trust anything that we've told you right away. And frankly, we wouldn't believe you if you said you did,
Lazarus told me while inclining his head in the direction of the tent we had set up outside Aldford for the new arrivals.
We need to get back to our minders and reassure them we haven't flown the coop, but take some time to think about what we've told you, and pay attention to just how much Stanton doesn't tell you over the next few days. The three of us need to take our rest cycle tonight anyway, so we'll be out of touch for a day or so. But if things don't start adding up by the time we're back, then send one of us a message and we'll go from there.
Without giving me a chance to even acknowledge his statement, Lazarus and his companions turned on their heels and sped away from me, ducking behind the crafting hall as they avoided the main street that cut through the center of Aldford, vanishing from sight almost immediately.
What the hell have I just gotten myself involved in?
I asked myself while letting out a heavy sigh and checking the in-game clock. I've only been logged in for, what, 2 hours so far?
The way today's going, I'm going to need a shot by the time the day's over.
No sooner did I finish my statement than an all-too-familiar chime echoed in my ear, causing my heart to skip a beat as a wall of text appeared in my vision. New quest, statecraft, deception and veracity. Evolving quest, espionage quest.
after meeting a trio of adventurers who claim to be working with Lord Adrian Stanton of House Daenerys, you have been warned that he and his companion, Commander Veronia Tarius, have come to Aldford with less than altruistic motivations, seeking to annex Aldford in Iberia's name, rather than honoring the contract originally signed by Alduin and House Daenerys. The adventurers have provided you with a great deal of information that Lord Stanton has yet to reveal to you, assuming he will at all. Going forward, will you trust what Lord Stanton has already told you? Will you expose the adventurers to him? Or will you listen to the adventurers who have approached you for help? Collect more information before making a decision. Evidence supporting the adventurer's story, 0/?. Evidence supporting Stanton's story, 0/?. Difficulty, very hard. Reward, unknown. Penalty for failure, unknown. My mouth dropped open as I scanned through the new quest, feeling a heavy stone of stress and anxiety sink deep into my stomach. On second thought, forget just a single shot. I'm gonna need an entire bottle. Chapter 13. Walking into the town hall, I passed through the main room of the building with barely a second glance at all the people seated at long tables, sharing meals with one another. Many were putting together their plan for the day, or simply sat together enjoying a moment of rest before beginning on their next task. My feet carried me into the back corner of the large hall and up a flight of stairs that led to Alduin's study, where I was hoping to find the man so that the two of us could begin to make sense of everything that Lazarus had just told me. I hope Alduin has a few ideas on how to deal with all this political shit that just landed in our lap, I thought fervently while mentally replaying everything that Stanton had said in the meeting just a short while ago and re-examining it in a new light. I don't even know if I'm going to be able to look at Stanton or Veroni in the eye without appearing suspicious as hell. If it were as simple as fighting a battle, I'd know better how to deal with all this. But figuring out who's lying and telling the truth? I don't even know where to start. Leaving the clamor of the adventurers behind, I finally reached the top of the stairs, enjoying a brief moment of silence before a familiar feminine voice erupted from Alduin's office on the far side of the hall ahead of me.
"It's your fault they left, Frederick!"
Veronia's voice barked.
"It's your damned fault all of this happened!"
"Shit, Veronia! How many times do I have to tell you? He saved my life!"
I heard Alduin shout back as I crossed the hall, hearing a loud thump as something was knocked over in the room.
"I was ready to die. Hell, I should have died. He pulled me back from the brink and practically dragged me back to Iberia after the battle. I was as heartbroken as you when he vanished."
"Damn you, Frederick. Don't tell me anything about being heartbroken."
Veronia's voice echoed back once more just as I placed my hand on the door and pushed.
"I was the one engaged to him!"
Swinging with a creak, the door opened, revealing Alduin standing behind his desk as Veronia leaned over it from the other side, the chair she'd been sitting on lying on the floor behind her. Sensing my intrusion, the pair whipped their heads to look at me, Alduin's face shifting to one of relief, whereas Veronia's remained angry.
"Lyrian!"
Alduin began to speak before Veronia's reply drowned him out.
"Get out!"
The armored woman snapped at me, her voice dripping with venom, a far departure from her earlier emotionless behavior during our meeting with Stanton.
"I don't think so,"
I retorted, matching her stare unflinchingly as her face turned red with rage. "I can hear you from down the hall, which means everyone downstairs can hear you as well. What the hell is going on here?"
"That doesn't concern you, adventurer,"
Verona spat while slashing her hand at the door.
"I'm telling you..."
"I beg to differ,"
I interrupted the angry woman. "You are making a scene, and you are screaming at my friend."
"The King Killer doesn't have friends,"
Veronia stated, casting a hard look at Alduin, who winced as if struck, then turned to look back at me.
"Only victims? I strongly suggest that you reconsider any affiliation that you have with this man."
"I think you need to leave, Commander," I said, feeling a cold sensation sweep over my body as I glared at Veronia, barely containing my anger. "Before you say something you can't take back, or something that I won't be able to forgive." Veronia glared at me for a moment before shifting her gaze towards Alduin.
"I will never forget
or forgive what you've done or what you've cost me.
Raunia, please understand,
Alduin managed to grind out, his voice heavy with emotion as Veronia pushed herself off the table and turned her back on him.
I
understand everything that I need to do, Frederick,
she replied firmly, while stalking across the room towards the door that I held open and passing through it with an angry glare at me before I closed it behind her. Barely a second after the door was closed, I heard Alduin practically collapse in his chair with a loud sigh, followed by several curse words I couldn't make out.
Are you okay?
I asked as I crossed the room and picked up the chair that Veroni had knocked over during their argument and righted it. That sounded bad.
It is nothing I haven't heard before,
Alduin replied, despite the heaviness in his voice.
Though this is the first time I've heard the word Kingkiller coming from her lips.
Is that what they called you, back in Iberia? I asked the man gently as I took a seat in front of his desk, and for the first time noticed the tears in Alduin's eyes as he stared up at the ceiling.
That's what they called all of us back in Iberia,
Alduin said with a bitter note in his voice.
Kingkillers. The survivors of Rainier and Cyril's death. I just happened to be the only one who stayed around long enough to be associated with the title.
I'm sorry about that, I told the knight, who simply shrugged in response.
It isn't the first time that Veronia and I have had that argument,
he stated.
I had hoped some time would have cooled her emotions. I was wrong.
What was the argument about? I asked carefully, not wanting to pry any more than Alduin was willing to reveal. If you don't mind me asking, that is.
It was about her husband-to-be, Miles Grayson. She still blames me for his disappearance.
Alduin replied as he raised a hand to rub his eyes while waving my concerns away with the other. Who was he? I asked. And why would she blame you?
Miles was my second in command when I was in charge of the prince's protective detail,
Alduin replied.
The two of us, three of us if you included the prince, were like brothers, even beyond the call of duty.
Looking down from the ceiling, Alduin fixed me with a steady gaze before he continued speaking.
He was the one who saved me after the ambush where the prince was killed, when by all accounts I should have died.
You never mentioned what happened during the ambush, I said slowly, not wanting to push the knight into reliving a bad memory if he didn't want to.
We never saw it coming,
the older man grunted, his face grimacing as he spoke.
One moment we were cutting our way through a routed horde of orcs and goblins, and then the next thing I knew, I had taken 4 arrows and was desperately trying to get to the prince's side.
Alduin paused to tap 2 spots on his chest, one under and one above his heart, before touching his stomach and side, marking the spots where the arrows had hit him.
I knew I was too far away to make a difference after he fell, but I was beyond reason. I had to get to his side. I felt that the least I could do was die beside him to somehow make up for not being able to save him. But before I could even cross half the distance towards him, my body failed me and I collapsed.
Alduin clenched a hand over his heart as his eyes glazed over.
My memories of the time afterward are faint and fragmented, but I remember Miles dragging me free from the chaos and speaking to me as he pulled the arrows from my body and healed my wounds. At one point I passed out from the pain and by the time I awoke again, I was back in Iberia, and Miles was nowhere to be found.
He was one of the survivors then, too, I stated, remembering what Alduin had told me several weeks ago in this very study, that there had only been 6 survivors from the ambush that had claimed the prince's life.
Yes,
Alduin affirmed.
After the battle, he vanished, inasmuch that we never found his body to prove that he may have
committed suicide. I finished, seeing the bond nod sadly at me.
According to what I was told, he disappeared barely an hour after bringing me back to Iberia.
Alduin said.
He left no note, or took anything of his with him. I've always thought that he climbed one of the bluffs and cast himself into the ocean, to escape what had happened.
Survivor's guilt, I thought, as Alduin and I lapsed into a momentary silence, the older man turning his head to stare out the window. They fought for decades to end the war, and the moment that it did, they lost the two symbols that kept the nation unified.
How do you know Veronia?
I asked, changing the topic and finally breaking the stillness that had come over the room. From what I overheard in the meeting, her father is in the military too?
Her father, Marshal Abraham Tarius, is the Iberian military,
Alduin replied with a tone of reverence.
He is in charge of the army and the reason why Iberia survived the war. Before he took command of the military nearly 30 years ago, we paid dearly in blood to hold on to the bulwark and keep Iberia from being overrun by the orcs. His leadership and example saved countless lives, and over 3 decades eventually shifted the war in our favor.
I see. I nodded in understanding as pieces began to fit together in my mind. He must have worked with him closely to watch after the prince.
We did,
Alduin affirmed.
And that is how Veronia met Miles. She was her father's protege and spent most of her career learning at his side. Naturally, the prince worked closely with the marshal and, by extension, so did the royal knights. The constant proximity allowed Veronia and Miles's love to bloom as the years passed. But ever since Miles vanished, died.
Alduin corrected himself, revealing what he truly thought happened to his old friend.
Veronia hasn't been the same. She's been consumed by a cold rage that even her father hasn't been able to put out, and has pushed everyone close to her away. I, of all people, am no stranger to what grief can do to a person, but the burden she carries on her heart has twisted her from the woman I once knew.
Alduin let out a deep sigh as he leaned back in his chair and rubbed his face once more.
Seeing her again for the first time brought back memories I hadn't thought about in ages, and wounds I had thought healed.
There was a long pause as Alduin collected his thoughts one last time.
At any rate, however, I appreciate your timely arrival, Lyrian. That argument would have only gotten worse from there,
Alduin said to me as he leaned forward onto his desk and clasped his hands together.
Is there something that you needed me for? I don't suppose you saw or heard whatever noise pulled Sierra and Dyer away from our meeting on your way up?
Actually, I was involved in that noise, I admitted to Alduin without any hesitation. There was an incident with a group of new adventurers, and I'm not so sure that Dyer resolved it appropriately, or was able to resolve it appropriately.
I suppose a day was longer than I expected before an incident involving the new adventurers occurred,
Alduin said with resignation, casting me a curious look at the last part of my statement.
What happened exactly, and how did you get involved? I expected you to be with Stanton for quite a while longer dealing with the news that he had brought us.
So did I, but we were interrupted. I began as I then went on to explain everything that had happened with Mazder, describing the Dark Elf's challenge, our duel, and Dyer's subsequent punishment.
It sounds to me like Dyer did his job adequately,
Alduin told me as soon as I finished my story.
This Mazder fellow has been punished, and now that he's banished, he is no longer our problem.
I feel given the scope of his crimes, he needed to be made an example of, and then vanished, I stated. Dyer let him off far too easy for my tastes.
I'm not so sure he did, Lyrian,
Alduin said flatly.
By your own words, you killed Mazder yourself during your duel, brutally from the sounds of it, and claimed his equipment. Anything more than that, on top of his banishment, would seem excessive, if not tyrannical. As it is, it's not as if the death penalty means anything for you adventurers.
That's exactly what I mean, I told Alduin empathetically. You don't punish an adventurer by killing him, inflicting pain, or taking his equipment away. You punish him by taking his time away.
Time? Alduin looked at me with confusion. Why does that matter?
Because that's all that we have that's valuable to us, I said. Think about it. Death means nothing. Pain fades away into memory. Equipment can be replaced, but time is something that we can never get back. Killing him and humiliating him were good first steps, but keeping him and his group prisoner for a few days would have driven the point home.
Alduin looked at me thoughtfully as he stroked his beard, his expression looking hesitant.
I think I understand what you're getting at a little better, Lyrian.
But we simply don't have the resources to manage to build a prison for Aldford just yet. As it is, we have our hands full trying to build enough housing for the new arrivals, let alone finish the crafting hall, palisade, or any of the other buildings we need.
It isn't that we need a formal prison, I countered while trying to get my thoughts straight. At least not yet. If we truly needed to imprison someone, we can take a few shovels and a fistful of leather straps and simply bury the offender in the ground up to their necks.
Alduin stared at me in disbelief at what I was proposing.
Lyrian, I don't even know where to begin with that. We treated orc and goblin prisoners with more dignity and honor than that, and they threatened to completely wipe us out to the last woman and child.
Then how else do you punish an immortal? I asked Alduin pointedly, while waving it myself. Because that's what we adventurers are. Granted, my example may be a little unusual, but taking away our time is the most meaningful punishment that I can think of to serve as a deterrent for future incidents. Right now, it isn't about having a prison in Aldford. It is the way that Aldford's laws are written and how Dire is enforcing them. When the incident with Mazda arose, Dire told me that we're unable to detain any adventurers that may break the law in the town, simply because we have no laws that allow for him to do that, regardless if we have a place to put them.
I think I begin to see your point, Alduin said, while appearing deep in thought. The laws I included in the town charter during the founding of Aldford are basic guidelines at best. I hadn't anticipated ever having to write them with a Justicar in mind, or growing so quickly. But if we are fortunate enough to have one here to enforce the law, then we need to make sure that the most appropriate laws are in place, to ensure that Dire is able to do his job adequately and as best suits Aldford.
Exactly, I told Alduin with a firm nod. And as Bon of the Settlement, those laws have to come from you. The sooner we can tell the adventurers what to expect, the better Aldford will grow for the future. We need better assurances than simple frontier justice to those that are wronged, and real consequences for those that break them.
I understand better now, Lyrian,
Alduin replied, though the hesitant look on his face was at odds with his words.
But isn't all of this a bit trivial, given the danger that lurks beneath us? As much as it pains me to say, perhaps we should be preparing to evacuate Aldford until it is resolved, assuming it can be at all.
I don't think we're at that point just yet, I said, feeling my heart twist at the thought of abandoning Aldford. Nor do I think we should let word about the ley line spread to the rest of the town.
You want to keep it secret?
Alduin looked surprised at my statement.
Why? It seems to me that we could use any and all help if we are going to have a chance at finding a way underground to where the ley line sits.
Because I'm not so sure I entirely believe or trust what Stanton has told us, I said while trying to find a gentle way of breaking the news that Lazarus and his friends had told me and the suspicions that I now carried.
What do you mean?
Alduin immediately looked worried.
Do you believe that he's lying about the rupture? To what end?
I don't believe he's lying about the rupture, considering that I've seen it with my own eyes through an etherscope. But I also don't believe that he's being completely honest about his motivations, either, I replied. Tell me, just how well do you know Stanton? Did you ever have dealings with him before?
Nothing formal,
Alduin said as he considered my question.
I've only met him a handful of times in my life, and even then only during social events where I was attending the prince. He's a cousin of some sort to the queen, though I'd have to consult the family tree to know exactly how they are related to one another. Why do you ask?
Because shortly after the incident with Mazter occurred, I was approached by the group of adventurers that Stanton brought with him, the ones he claimed declined from attending the meeting. I saw Alduin's eyebrow rise in curiosity as I spoke.
And?
He prompted. They didn't decline to attend the meeting. They were barred from it, I stated, citing that Stanton didn't trust them to support his story during it. Furthermore, they considered themselves here against their will.
And do you believe them?
Alduin asked.
During the meeting, Stanton did mention that they were uncooperative, and if he told outright falsehoods, Dire would have made a note of that.
Wait, Dire can do that? I looked at Alduin, feeling caught off guard, suddenly remembering what Dire had said while speaking to Mazder. He can just tell when people are lying?
Of course.
Alduin replied with an indifferent nod.
All Justicars can. It is what makes them so effective and sought after.
I didn't know that, I said quietly as I absorbed the implications. I had assumed that Dire saw through Mazder's lies due to practiced skill and the evidence against him, not because of divine aid. If Stanton lied through omission and not deliberate falsehoods, then Dire wouldn't have picked anything up. A growl escaped my throat as a new wave of frustration swept over me, realizing just how far out of my depth I was. But at the same time, if Lazarus is telling the truth, that means Stanton was then able to manipulate the whole conversation, even with a Justicar present, to evade letting anything slip. Yet, what if Lazarus has his own goals, though, and is trying to make me second-guess everything Stanton told us? Stanton might very well be the honest one in this situation, and Lazarus not. Or Stanton may have sent Lazarus to us.
Are you okay, Lyrian?
Alduin said with concern, looking at me with surprise.
Did I say something to upset you?
It's not you, I replied, shaking my head as I leaned forward in my chair and ran my hands through what remained of my hair. I'm going crazy in my head trying to make sense of everything that's happened today, and I'm realizing now that I have no idea what to do or who to trust.
I'm not sure I'm following, Lyrian,
Alduin said.
What exactly did the adventurers tell you that has you so worked up?
Are you sure you want to know? I asked Alduin, giving him a serious look. If I do, you might not be able to look at Stanton or Veronia the same way again.
That bad?
Alduin commented, before shaking his head and sighing deeply.
Tell me everything. You are the only reason why Aldford still remains free and standing. As long as I am alive, I won't allow you to carry your burdens alone.
Thank you. I breathed with relief, a part of me worried that Alduin might have taken me up on my offer. The adventurers told me that Stanton and Veronia were planning to annex Aldford for Iberia and to remove you from your position as Bonn. From my opening words, Alduin stared at me in stunned disbelief, as I then went on to explain everything that Lazarus and his friends had told me, leaving nothing out. At first, Alduin's expression began with sullen resignation, before gradually shifting into anger as I finished my story.
That's why she pushed so hard to get a garrison up here in the town, Alduin said, his knuckles white as they clutched the edge of his desk. It isn't enough that they exiled me out here and now they want to depose me. Haven't I given enough for Iberia?
Who? Veronia? I asked numbly, feeling deflated after sharing my story. She wanted to put soldiers up here?
Yes,
Alduin spat while letting go of the desk and clasping his hands together.
Before our conversation deteriorated, she mentioned that her father would want to send protection here as a gesture of goodwill after the incident with the bandit adventurers, and to ensure something like that never happened again. I refused her, citing their impending conflict with the Ascendancy and not wanting to be drawn into it, but she became more insistent. It didn't go well after that.
So you believe that the adventurers may be telling the truth? I queried, watching Alduin shake his head in response.
I don't know.
Alduin grunted harshly as he continued to work through his anger.
but this stinks of politics. For one, when I asked for an escort to lead us out here during the founding of Oldford and to protect us for a time, I couldn't get so much as a vague promise for assistance out of the military. But now that Oldford has something valuable, Veronia's trying to practically force a company of soldiers down my throat.
Which would answer to someone Iberian, not someone from Oldford, I pointed out.
And give her the manpower to remove me physically,
Alduin stated bitterly while nodding at me.
Which would cause a bloodbath if adventurers like yourself decided to stand against them. While I would personally find it hard to raise arms against an Iberian soldier, I dare say many of you wouldn't.
No, I admitted, knowing that if Aldford was under attack by anyone, regardless of their origin, I wouldn't hesitate in fighting them. But would you want us to? Alduin gave me a sharp look.
What I want is Iberia to leave me alone. I have given them my entire adult life and service, foregone marriage and children to duty, even willingly accepted exile to ensure